prayer is very simple in concept. It can be simply defined as talking to God, or yet prayer is one of the most complex subjects that can be discussed. How can a human talk to the creator of the universe? How does an insignificant human address the creator of the universe? How can God hear all those prayers at once? How does prayer work? God is sovereign. He has the ultimate authority and does not change, yet prayer somehow moves him to do things differently. How does God know what to do? One farmer prays for rain because his crops are getting dry, and another farmer prays for a sunny day because he just cut his field of hay and the rain would ruin his crop. What does God do in that situation? Why are some prayers answered quickly, others only after a long delay? And some answered no, right? Why are some so good at praying and others not? What is a good prayer? What should we pray for? As children, we were taught to repeat simple prayers. Maybe you guys have some of those. Things like, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That was actually one of the prayers I prayed when I was little. And I remember thinking, but I don't want to die while I sleep. I mean, I don't want to die at all, really. I mean, not right now. I'm not really ready to die. And I remember praying that prayer and going, man, that's just weird. I don't really want to die. It almost scared me. I don't want to die. I'm just going to stay up all night then, I guess. I mean, I'm here. Might as well stay up all night. Well, we learn other prayer habits as children too, such as saying blessings before we eat. God is great. God is good. Now we thank him for this food. The prayer that I said growing up also. Or Kara, I remember the first time I went to Kara's house and I met her family. And when it was time to eat, we all gathered in a circle and held hands and they said together, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. And I was like, is this a cult? Are we doing a seance? What's going on here? I don't know what's going on. Never heard that before in my life. Kind of thrown off by it. Now since I'm in the family, I do the monotone, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed too. What is proper prayer? How should we come to God? What should we pray for? Those are all questions we have heard or maybe even have ourselves. Our key passage for this series is Matthew chapter 6, 5 through 8, and it says this, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. I assure you, they've got their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room. Shut your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the adulterers, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you even ask him. Last week we focused in on the words, when you pray. And we talked about three important reasons to pray. We have been invited to pray. We have been provided reasons to pray. And then three, throughout Scripture, we have proof that prayer works. This week, we're going to be talking about where you pray. And you might have your bulletins with you. You can take it out and follow along with us. There's an outline in there to fill out. But where you pray. Have you ever wondered why we close our eyes when we pray or bow our heads? I mean, when we sit down to eat supper as a family at my house and before we start eating, we tell the kids, okay, we're going to pray. Now fold your hands and close your eyes, and we sit there and wait until they do it, and we're snatching spoons out of their hands and give them a little smack across the head. No, just joking. But we tell them, okay, we're gonna pray. Now fold your hands and bow your heads. Close your eyes. And we wait until they do that before we begin to pray. But why? It's not commanded in Scripture. I think one of the reasons we do this is that it can help give us reverence to an unseen God who is sovereign. It's a sign of respect and awe. Or it also could mirror the Old Testament assumption that man could not view a holy God and live. However, I think the reason we do that is least about awe and worship, although those are both very important, and more about practical distraction filling our eyes, ears, and minds. Perhaps it's similar to shutting the door and shutting the world out so the believer can truly be near to God. Today, we encounter the where of our proper prayer life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, we are told we should pray continually, without ceasing. That implies that anywhere is a good place to pray. Spontaneous prayer should be a part of our daily response to each situation. However, Scripture also communicates we should have scheduled prayer too. Jesus molded this by having a secluded place to talk to his Father. I mean, it's mentioned several times in Scripture. Matthew chapter 6, the first part of 6 is going to be the passage we'll be focusing in on this morning. And it says this, "But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret." When Jesus said we should shut the door, he was inviting us to focused intimacy with God. By shutting out the world, when we pray, we have been truly committed to communicating and receiving from God in that moment. Now here's the thing. When you're putting something together, maybe a piece of furniture, some kind of toy, or a bike for your kids, or a Lego set, whatever that is, the first step is always the most important, right? That's usually the step we forget as guys, read the instructions, right? I mean, that's usually the first step. But that's the most important step. The first step determines how the rest of the project will look, right? If you get the first step wrong, the finished project will be distorted. In that same way, the first step of prayer is extremely crucial. It determines how the rest of your prayer will look. When we worship God first, it changes what we ask for and what we feel like we need to confess. This morning, I want to briefly discuss three key reasons to shut the door. Mickey, can you go advance the next slide, please? And the first reason is going to be shutting the door shifts the focus off of others. Shutting the door shifts the focus off of others. The hypocrites that we read about earlier in the Scripture, it's the hypocrites love to be seen praying. That's what the Scripture says. They wanted everyone to hear them pray so they could get all the attention and everyone could marvel at their prayer. This is the opposite of that. With no one to impress or imitate or evaluate, we can simply focus on God. Focusing on others and what they think and why it matters is a trap. Trusting in God alone is to His glory and our greatest benefit. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 reads, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." Being in any kind of leadership role, here's the thing, being in any kind of leadership role, this is always a difficult one to do. And in the church is no different. You see, we have about 120 people who regularly attend here at FBC. You know what that means? We have 120 different opinions on how things should go. That's what that means. or how things should be done. But as leaders of the church, why we value the different thoughts and different opinions, really the only one that matters is what he thinks and what he wants. So shutting the door and coming before a holy God in prayer to hear from him, hear his direction, his thoughts, his goals, is much more important than trying to impress others. And that's hard. That's a hard thing to do. The second key reason to shut the door is, number two, shutting the door shifts the focus off of self. Shutting the door shifts the focus off of self. With no one to impress, we can become a little less self-conscious and more God-conscious. In private prayer, God's Holy Spirit may reveal more of who we are, more of who he is, and how to walk in light of his word. Psalm chapter 25, verses 8 through 11 reads this, "Because the Lord is righteous and good, he teaches sinners the path they should follow. He leads the humble in the right way and teaches them his will. With faithfulness and love, he leads all who keep his covenant and obey his commands. Keep your promise, Lord, and forgive my sins, for they are many." At this point in the psalm, David pauses to meditate on the character of the Lord his God. To begin with, he is good and upright, and what he says and does is always right. If we submit ourselves to him in meekness, he will teach us his ways. But if we are arrogant, he will be silent. Now, in the New Testament, the word meek describes a horse that has been broken, or a soothing wind on a hot day, or a healing medicine. Meekness is not weakness. It is power under control. God can be trusted to guide those who obey his word, for a willingness to obey is the first step towards spiritual understanding. And I do want to mention this. In the movie, if you haven't seen the movie again, I'm going to say you got to see that movie. Rent it. We have it in the office. Lend it out. Just bring it back in a timely fashion, timely manner, whatever. But I want to mention this. I like the fact that in the movie, they showed the woman Elizabeth struggling with prayer to start out with. I mean, remember, she's like trying to get comfortable. She's throwing a beanbag in there. She's trying different chairs. Ends up bringing her bag of chips in there. I mean, she's struggling. And I like that they showed that because prayer is a struggle. I struggle with it. I know you guys struggle with it. It's a struggle to come quiet before the Lord with all the distractions and all the busyness in life. So I like that the fact that they showed that. But I also like the fact that they said after she continued to do it, she said, man, it's almost got easier. She's like, I remember when 5 minutes felt like an hour. Now an hour feels like 5 minutes. And that's so true. Once you continue to practice and put that, keep doing it and keep struggling through it, it becomes easier and easier and easier. It is in prayer that we discover our mind is actually divided in the first place. Then and only then can we beg God to show us his way and right our path. Pastor Timothy Keller once said, "What you think about in your private time is what you worship." Are you focused on others? Are you focused on yourself? Or are you focused on God? The third key reason to shut the door is number three, is shutting the door shifts God into his place of priority. Shutting the door shifts God into his place of priority. There are plenty of things in our lives that distract us. One of my distractions is technology. Everything nowadays is so easily accessible. And you can actually be up in everybody's business if you wanted to via Facebook. I mean, it's a great place to check up on people and get up in their business. You can be reached anywhere at any time with a simple phone call or text message to your cell phone. Cell phones can be so distracting that we are told we should put down the phones while we drive, right? There's actually laws created now for that. We're told to put them down at dinner or in theaters or when you're spending quality time with others. We're told to silence them when we're in meetings or at church. When you silence the ringer or put down the phone, you are essentially eliminating the noise in order to focus on the face in front of you. It's an illustration of worth. There are times when I'll be on my phone checking Facebook or playing a game, and Carol will be trying to talk to me or tell me something important about the next day. And I hear her talking. I mean, I hear her. I may even give a little, I gotcha. But you know what happens after she's done? I lower the phone and say, now what did you say? She'll tell you that's true because she hates it. She gets on me all the time. Now I heard her speaking. I didn't hear what she said, but I heard her speaking. And for some reason, the second time she says it, it just doesn't seem as nice as the first time. Come off a little nice, not that sweet, tender voice I usually know. I mean, I heard her, but I really didn't hear her. I heard her, but I didn't really hear her. I was too focused on other things. My game, I don't want to lose in my game. Facebook, I got to get up in everybody's business. My mind was distracted on other things. Though God is everywhere, we are more inviting and aware of His presence in the secret place. In His quiet prayer, it is in quiet prayer that we discover our mind is actually scattered and divided in the first place. When we become aware of His presence and beg God to eliminate our double-mindedness and give us an undivided heart, it helps to know Him, honor Him, and surrender to His will above all else. Jesus molded this plenty of times. I mean, there are several spots in Scripture where Jesus was surrounded by people, and sometimes a lot of people. And what did He do? He withdrew Himself from the crowd, went to a private place, and spent time with His Father. And we read about this, one of the instances in Luke chapter 22, verse 41 through 44, right before He was about to be crucified. It says he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if You are willing, take this cup from Me, yet not My will, but Yours be done." What about you? Are you allowing the distractions in life keep you from meeting your Heavenly Father? He wants to meet with you. He wants a relationship with you. Where are you placing Him in priority in your life? Oswald Chambers offers us the following in the August 23rd entry of his daily devotion, "My Utmost for His Highest." He says this: "Unless you learn to open the door of your life completely and let God in from your first waking moment of each new day, you will be working on the wrong level throughout the day. But if you will swing the door of your life fully open and pray to your Father who is in the secret place, every public thing in your life will be marked with a lasting imprint of the presence of God." Shutting the door and spending time alone with God is a practice you need. Shutting distracting doors in the mind so that you can solely focus on God is a discipline you must embrace. Ultimately, when you shut out the world, you swing wide the entryway and welcome the work only He can do in your life. So the question is, what work does God need to do in your life? Is there something you are holding on to? Or that you need God to deal with? What are you waiting for? Like I said last week, we made our own little kind of war room over here on the stage. And we invite you to come up and spend some quiet time with the Lord right here, right in front on the steps. Or on the prayer benches on either side. We actually have paper and markers up here. You can write a prayer request, write a praise, write a poem, whatever you want to do, and tape it right up on the wall. Just like she did in her war room in the movie. God wants to spend some time with you. Will you continue to allow the distractions of life keep you from that? Father God, we thank you once again for allowing us to gather here as a group of believers, Father, and as there are so many distractions in our life that keep us from you, keep us from doing your work and your will, whether that be our goal to please people instead of pleasing you, because we don't want to hurt people's feelings. But when we don't follow what you've called us to do, man, we're crushing you. Father, help us to not focus on other people, focus on ourselves, but help us focus on you. And Father, as we continue to worship and praise you throughout the rest of the day and the rest of the week, help us to withdraw to a quiet, secret place so all the distractions in life can be out and we can just solely focus on you, because you deserve that. Help us meet with you, not only to give our requests to you, but to listen to what you have for us, to listen to what you would like to do in us and through us as we continue to reach out to this community and ultimately to this world. We love you, and we praise you, and we thank you. Amen.